Off now? You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Love, and it is time for Go Yard. I am Mama Mac, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host of almost 4 years, Dr. Angel Falzoni.
Good evening,
Dr. Angel. Oh, look at that! Did you see all those people out there outside in the studio? I mean, they're stacked outside waiting to see you as you go by.
Surprise.
I know, it's just amazing, isn't it? Oh, we love doing that. See? Yes. And we have the best engineer in the world, too.
We do.
We love our Pete. He's just great.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Happy Thursday.
And, you know, Pete, when you add in, when you have things to say, we love it. And it's just a blessing. We enjoy it.
Oh,
we
well,
really
thank
do.
You very much. I try to add as much as I can.
You do. And people comment on you. And
oh,
that
really?
They enjoy it. Yeah.
Okay, good.
So,
good stuff.
We got a new topic tonight, Pete. It's really good. I don't know if Angel told you yet what it is.
She didn't.
Ah, finding.
It's called a radio tease.
That's right. Finding your voice.
Finding your voice.
Now, you have a great voice.
Thank you. But, you know, honestly, when I was younger, I never thought I had a great voice. Everybody's told me that throughout the years, and I've kind of gotten more and more confident with
right.
it. I didn't think that when I first started out doing radio. I thought I had a terrible voice.
Well, you have a aww. Great voice. You really do.
Thank you.
But that's not the kind of voice we're talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Same thing. Finding your voice, finding your own
right?
style. Finding,
that's it.
Yes. Finding
and
your
look
focus.
At, exactly. And you've done that with the shows you do and
mm-hmm.
all the sports stuff. And we just love doing this show. We love doing our Sunday show, too.
Isn't it fun?
But it's
it
fun.
Is.
It really is. After all these years, you just it never gets old. Dr. Angel, finding your voice. Part one tonight.
Yes.
And let's share. Let's just pull the curtain back a tiny bit. Let the audience see how sometimes we meet at Village Inn.
Yes, we do.
On Golf to Bay. And we have a special little booth there where we have our meetings. When we walk in, they know it's meeting day. And we're strategizing and planning. And this kind of popped up last week when we were having a meeting. Just because we feel like there's a need. And it's not just for women. This is a show for men also.
Absolutely.
And yes. and teenagers, you know, and older folks. Because you're never too young or you're never too old to learn to find your voice.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you're right. It crosses all age spectrums, gender, socioeconomic levels, you know, cultural, racial, ethnicities. Like, there are people struggle with this
yes.
all across the board.
We're going to define it in a minute. But
yes,
I want to give
will.
You an example. About a year and a half ago, I decided to get a second little puppy because my older dog, Bailey, had passed away. And so a little black and tan miniature dachshund. And when I first met her at the breeders, this American Indian, wonderful guy, up in Brooksville, she was 2 weeks old. So she was a little tiny, tiny thing. And you kind of remember seeing her mm-hmm. little. And anyway, one day he called me and he said, "Your baby just found her voice." And she had barked for the first time. And he thought it was so cute, you know. Now I'm trying to get her not to bark so much and to lose her voice. And, but that's, you know, in all walks of life, your voice really is indicative of what's behind your voice. You can say things with wimpiness.
Mm-hmm.
You can say things with strength. You can say things because you have a conviction about what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
which I'm doing right now on purpose, as you can tell with my voice. Or you can just kind of, well, I don't know if I want to talk about this or not tonight, Dr. Angel. I don't know what we should do. I don't know if it'll be a good show or not. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, I know what you mean. Talk You're right. to us. Our voice is very important. I know we've talked many times on communication where, you know, the words that we're sending in our message is really only 7% of our communication. And we put so much value into the words. But that voice, that tone, our inflections, the strength or mm-hmm. lack of it behind there is a greater chunk of our communication.
You can say the very same thing in a wimpy voice, like I just did, mm-hmm. or a strong voice of authority and action, and that you know that there's something behind that you're
Absolutely.
Saying. There's a conviction, a principle that you're trying to enact or whatever, right?
Absolutely, there is. And so it's a valuable thing for us to have. We should all, not only we all should be using our voice, but we should be confident in that.
I've known a lot of people that as their kids are little, that they use their voice to just scream and yell at their kids. And we've talked about that during our parenting series that we did recently. And, you know, a lot of times that voice, that screaming voice is not very effective. We're not talking about that kind of voice tonight.
No, not at all. Absolutely. So when we're talking about finding our voice, we're talking about being able to say something after maybe feeling we were nervous or we're reluctant to talk about something. So
okay.
it's being able to speak our truth is really the bottom
speak
line.
Speak our truth. I love that.
It is. It's voicing our thoughts, our feelings, or our opinions, even if it's not comfortable, even if others don't agree.
Okay, I want to unpack all of that you just said in just a minute, and we want to make sure our audience understands that we're live in the studio tonight. If you're listening to this live, you can call in 727-441-3000 and weigh in and ask a question or make a comment. If you are listening any other time, 24/7, 365, you can text directly to my phone, and that is 727-888-4171. Or you can text during the show with comments or questions, 727-888-4171. And you can always email questions because we're pulling some together right now to do a Q&A show again
yes.
very soon. And so send those questions. You can write as many paragraphs as you like to goyard2014@gmail.com. We love the questions that come in from our audience, and they are always interesting and make for a great show. So we'll have one of those in a couple weeks probably. So let's go back to what you just said. What does it mean to find your voice, and what you just how you just defined that? I want you to amplify on that, and maybe someone just now tuned in, so go over it again.
That's okay. So it's managing to say what we're thinking, what we're feeling, our thoughts, our opinions, even when a situation's not comfortable. It's honest communication. So we're talking about and voicing those things that are inside of us, even if we're with a group of people that may not agree or have different opinions.
Right.
That's finding our voice. It's saying something when it's not comfortable, but in honesty.
Okay. Now, there's a difference between saying something that disagrees, let's say, with the little group of friends you're going out with or whatever, that you're just trying to pick a fight. For
oh,
instance, a political discussion. A lot of times, especially in this temperature climate right now in the United States, is not a good discussion to have. We're not talking about finding your voice and something like that just to cause trouble, are we?
Oh, no, absolutely not. But what happens is a lot of times is somebody may be in a group and maybe a joke is told and it kind of isn't their thing, or maybe it was offensive to them, and they go along and laugh with it to be a part of that
good.
Group.
Yes.
And that's not finding their voice. Maybe they finding their voice in that situation was just walking away and not being a part of that.
Right.
Finding our voice is just...
So finding your voice can sometimes be not saying anything?
Not saying anything at all. You don't have to be rude. You do not have to be brash. You do not have to be abrasive. It is not an overpowering or controlling type of maneuver.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about with finding our voice. It's
okay,
not
we're not talking about
face.
Trying to get somebody to be convinced that our way of seeing this issue or whatever is the right way. And you got to hear me, and you got to hear me. And sometimes people are going 65 miles an hour when they're trying, especially politically. I stay out of political conversations.
Me as well.
Okay, but when they're doing that, they're on a mission so that you're going to say, oh, really? Okay, I agree with you, right?
Well, and that's just it. The purpose of it has nothing to do with someone agreeing or disagreeing with me. Finding my voice is just communicating honestly. Honestly to who I am and what I feel and what my convictions are.
Okay, so it's not about trying to twist someone's arm to believe what you believe.
Not at all. It doesn't matter what they believe. My truth is my truth. And if they agree, they agree, and we can continue that conversation. But if they don't, it's okay, too. I don't need to defend myself, and I do not need to convince you of anything.
Okay, so why is it that so many people are on a track towards trying to convince somebody? It's almost to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the expert here, but it's almost like they're unsure of their own opinion, and so they want to make sure that everybody else is on the same place with them, so their opinion, oh, yeah, I guess I am right on that, whatever that is.
Well, no, you make a great point, because really one of the heart issues to people who don't share their voice is an insecurity.
Yes.
Of not being respected, or somebody not liking what they have to say, or maybe it's not important what they have to say, or what would they think if they knew I thought that?
Right.
You know, so there's an insecurity of why people sometimes, a lot of times, don't say their truth.
And I like that word truth right there. I think that is huge. And if we had to boil down this whole thing of finding your voice to one word, it would be two words. Your truth.
Your truth.
Right?
That's what it's really about.
Right. And how you really feel about this, or what you really believe about this issue, whatever it is. Your truth.
Your truth. Okay.
Give me some examples. Because we may have some people out there in our audience tonight, Doctor, who don't understand why they would need to find their voice. Maybe they think they have it. Can you give us some examples of how it's kind of a litmus test, or maybe a quiz on how do you really have your voice, or do you need to find it?
Okay, so an example is if you feel like you just can't show the real you, maybe you're afraid it's going to turn people off. You just want to help everyone, so you don't want conflict.
Okay.
You probably do not you have not found your voice yet.
Okay. Now we're going back to the redneck thing.
I kind of feel it.
You may be a redneck, right?
You may have not found your
voice. If you haven't found your car in your front yard for the last 5 months, you may be a redneck. What are those kind of things? Is that where we're going?
No.
Okay. All right.
But really, if there's a fear of showing the real you. If you don't want to show the real, I don't want to have a conflict. I just want to help everybody. So they would just keep the conflict.
But those kind of people are basic people pleasers, aren't they?
People pleasers 101. A lot of times that they are in very codependent kind of relationships.
Define codependent, because I think that's one
of... Need to
be needed.
So we can't have conflict.
One of the best books written on that is Codependent No More by Melody...
I don't know the last name.
Oh, shoot. Just lost it. But Codependent No More is one of the best books I've ever read on that. And she even has a devotional every day, you know, which is really good on that whole topic of codependency. Because so many people don't even understand what that means. So define it one more time for those of us who just missed your definition.
Well, in a nutshell, it's needing to be needed. I'm codependent. I need people to need me.
Okay.
So I'm exhausted by trying to meet everybody's needs. I'm not taking care of my own needs usually.
Right.
And I'm taking care of others at the expense of my own life, at maybe my financial expense, my family's expense, my time's expense. They do it at their detriment.
Right.
And so we need people to have problems. So we surround ourselves with people who have lots of problems so that they'll need us.
So there are a lot of people, because I've known a lot through the years, that do need to be needed. And they do thrive on drama. And they do thrive on having the latest craziness going on all around them. That they're kind of the central focus of trying to help this poor, awful person, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and they find their value in helping others.
Right.
And they feel like that's their purpose. But they do it at the detriment, not only of themselves, but they usually are doing it at the detriment of the other person. They're helping that person when that person should have some strength to do some of those things for themselves. So they're kind of rescuing that person, and they're not learning and growing, because then they wouldn't have as many needs. So we have to keep them at a certain level so that we can be needed. So it's a really unhealthy situation, but a lot of people get stuck in that.
We just did a series, Teens Out of Control, which we would encourage you to go to our podcast here or our website, goyard2014.org, and catch those. Because one of the things we said is that the root of so many teen problems now has to do with back years ago when the child was little and they were never made to take responsibility or never had chores, never mm-hmm. had things that they were expected to do because the mother or the father or both felt like, oh, I don't want him to have to do that. I had to do chores when I grew up. I milked the cows and walked 5 miles in the snow to school every day.
Absolutely. And that is a detriment to someone's learning and growing and development. And so if you're just kind of a peacekeeper,
right?
Yeah, you're not using your voice. Okay. Absolutely. So that's definitely one big example.
So what do you say to the we're going to get to what to do about it in a minute.
We're going to say, absolutely. Yeah. If you're the person and you go out to a restaurant and your meal comes and it's like all wrong and you just say, oh, that's how it is, and just don't say anything and just eat it and accept it. Yeah, that's
you may be a person without a voice.
That's a huge one, and that's not a
redneck,
really common
but
one.
But you may be a person without a voice.
You know, a lot of people will just, that's again, trying to keep that peace and not saying something. Now, we don't have to be belligerent when we're saying something. You know, oh, excuse
it's all about
me,
attitude.
I ordered, you know, well done, and it's rare done. Can you fix that? You can be respectful and kind-hearted and still use your voice.
And there's nothing wrong with this. In fact, we're saying this is, you should be doing this.
You should.
You're paying good money.
Good money to go out to eat.
A couple years ago, I had some clients of mine that I've sold a lot of homes to. And usually I would take them out for a nice dinner after we'd close on one of these homes. And we were at a good restaurant here in town, and I won't mention the name. But there were four of us at this dinner. And gradually, our food came out one item at a time. A little bowl of green beans. This is an upscale restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Somebody else got their entree. Somebody else got their potato. Somebody else got, you know, their drink refilled. I mean, it was, like, ridiculous. And after, like, 10 minutes of all this coming out piecemeal, and one person still didn't have their entree, that I finally said something. And I knew I needed to. I mean, it was, you know, and the manager, please get the manager. Manager comes over. And eventually, though, after all of this, we walked out and didn't pay a dime for that whole meal. But it was good for me to step out and say, this isn't okay.
Right.
These are my special clients, and it's not okay to be eating cold green beans or, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But we see a lot of people that are very fearful or very hesitant to do things like that.
And they won't. And they'll just pay big bucks to eat something they really didn't want or prepared a way that they didn't want it prepared instead of using their voice and asking for it to be corrected.
But some people would say, I was just being kind to that restaurant
being
or to that
to
server.
Who? You're paying a lot of money. It's not the server's fault something came out wrong. And we're not blaming them. We're just asking for the kitchen to correct what we ordered
right
off the menu and to get what we're paying for. Why are we paying for something we didn't want to have?
Exactly. Good
you
point.
Know, and it's not being kind. And, you know, I know a lot of times you'll go out, like, go out with a friend group and something will come back and I'll ask, oh, can I, you know, I asked for, you know, to be well done. Can you send it back and cook it longer? And people are like, all their eyes get big because they're not, oh my gosh, you're saying something about the meal? Like, they are afraid.
I've seen this with people for years. A lot of people do not actually step up to the plate and do anything about food that's not prepared correctly.
They don't. They do not. I'll tell you a cute one real quick. That when Spencer was about 3 years old, we went to a family restaurant in the area, and he had ordered apples, the candy, you know, the fried apples. And they came out, and evidently they were soured. And he took a bite, and they were nasty. And he flagged his waitress down. He's like, excuse me, these apples are not yummy, yummy good. At 3 years old, he had found his voice.
Oh, my gosh. I love that boy. Oh, my. That's great. But you know what? You engineer or you, you know, encourage that.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're saying. Now, we're not going to talk about restaurant food here more than what this example we just gave, because actually, this is a very serious subject.
It is.
Because people go through life in a destructive, abusive relationship, whether it be a marriage or a parent-child relationship or a sibling that is mean and nasty to you, and you never step up and say anything about it. If you don't do anything, it'll never change, right?
Absolutely. We'll never change. We have to, you know, acknowledge something before we can start changing it. And by keeping it silent, we're not able to work forward in changing anything. We have to put a voice to things.
So what is the definition of insanity?
You're trying to do the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
And isn't that what happens in a lot of people? Because they've gotten into a groove of being the victim or the martyr. We talk about that a lot on this show because there's a lot of people, that's how they live.
They do.
And they're so used to being, their voice doesn't count for anything or matter or change anything.
Absolutely. And that's another reason why some people don't use their voice is they believe what they have to say is not good enough, or others just don't care what they have to say. So instead of feeling that rejection of what I have to say, I'm just not going to say anything.
Right. And, you know, I think that we're right now, this nation is embroiled in this, you know, gun debate and whatever. And whatever side you fall on doesn't matter. That's not the point, what I'm trying to say here. We have teenagers that are finding their voice.
We do.
Right now.
Absolutely.
And that is a new thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when we had Newtown and that massacre of all those little 5 and 6 and 7 year old kids, I mean, you know, this wasn't the dynamic going on. You had grieving parents and all of that, and everybody thought it was horrible. But you didn't have people that were there a part of it because they were little kids,
right,
speaking up. And I think that's one of the more encouraging things right now. If, you know, however it all shakes out, it's, I mean, you're a gun owner. I mean, I get that. You know, a lot of our listeners are. It's that's not.
No, but you're right. The point, that's
not
principle.
Even the point.
The point is that they feel the freedom to voice, to put their voice out there.
Yeah.
And people, we should have that freedom
yes.
to put our voice out there. And we should feel that we can do this with freedom and authenticity and feel that what we have to say is valued, what we have to say is important. Instead of fearing people rejecting or making fun of us or saying something negative, we need to find
exactly.
our confidence in
That's
us.
That's the foundation of this country.
Absolutely.
It's not the foundation of a lot of countries in the world, but it
no.
is of this country. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, that kind of thing. And we should carry it over in our daily lives. And that's what this series is going to be about, it seems to me. It's developing that way right now. that we need to exercise our freedom. We got to go to break in a minute. We got a whole lot more to talk about. And we encourage you, as always, to call in if you want to. 727-441-3000 or text to my phone right here. 727-888-4171 with your opinions 24/7, 365.
Make a choice. Should be the change we want to see. And I'll rejoice to find the good in everyone. Shine a light for all to see in peace and harmony. Merry Christmas.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
You're going to hear me roar. Thank you, Pete. That's great. Love those songs. Wow. Great stuff. You do great picking up the music and decided we're on this new series, Finding Your Voice, Dr. Angel. And I think you had a couple more examples before we get into the meat of this, right? Because it's kind of a mini quiz asking people,
kind of
think,
is
this
kind
what, can you relate to this? Has this ever happened to you?
Absolutely. And, you know, when it comes to finding your voice, I think people who aren't using it are a lot of times not aware that they're not using their voice. I've heard people think that, well, once you turn 40, you find your voice. It just magically happens, I guess, when you have your 40th birthday. And that's not true, because I know a lot of people over 40 who haven't found their voice yet.
That's definitely not true.
And we don't have to wait till we're 40 to find our voice.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that was definitely a belief. Some people believe it's just better to be silent and keep the peace than speak and risk conflict. And so that is someone who would not be using their voice.
You know, it's okay to push back on something somebody says, but it's how you do it, right?
Yes.
And kindness, respect.
Absolutely.
Tone of voice.
Yes, body language.
Body language. Sitting there, I remember counseling 101, you know, years ago, and you're a counselor, and you understand it. I've been doing it for a long time, too. But when a counselor sits with their arms folded, right?
Absolutely.
In front of them, it's kind of like you're not really open to hearing what body language has a lot to say.
Body language does say a lot. And so we don't always have to agree with someone. Doesn't mean we have to start a fight either. We can respectfully disagree without having to lose our voice in that.
Right.
Which doesn't mean you have to go project your voice every time you disagree. That's not what we're saying either.
No, not at all.
But when you are involved in these conversations, you don't have to agree just because you feel the pressure to agree.
But unfortunately, and probably this is the main person, people in our lives that do this to us, a lot of times people that are trying to exercise control over us, manipulate us, tend to intimidate a lot of people enough to squelch the voice, right? From the beginning of the relationship, it can be.
Oh, yes.
It can be, right?
It does. Yeah, it can be.
It can be.
You're going to make me a shirt someday. It can be.
It can
Dr.
be.
Angel.
That's right.
That's true. And sometimes people have these very, like, over boisterous kind of personas, and they kind of squelch out the other person, and it can be intimidating. And we shouldn't be circling ourselves with people we're intimidating by. I mean, sometimes we can't help it, business, life, whatever. But these should not be our close family and friends, you know, for the most part. We don't want to be intimidated. There shouldn't be a power differential in our, you know, common friendships.
But, you know, I've seen it for years. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it a lot in marriages and in partnership arrangements or whatever they are, you know, even business arrangements. People, so often one person just agrees, just yes, to keep the peace, but also because they really don't want to come up with anything that might be different than what was just said, because what if it causes a fight? You mentioned that a minute ago. Or what if somebody goes, oh, that's a stupid idea? And I believe a lot of people have had that happen to them. In relationships.
They have.
You know.
And then they
That makes it hard to find your voice if you're always being told you're stupid.
Yes. Yes, it sure does.
Or that won't work. Are you crazy? That won't work, you know.
Oh, yes. Because remember, at the core of this is, you know, self-confidence, you know. And when we're not using our voice, usually we're not confident in who we are or what we think or what we believe. And we're willing to kind of let it fold into the shadows and not let it come out. And yeah, when you are told negative messages after negative messages, you know, you're no good or you're stupid or whatever, yeah, you're going to be less likely to use your voice ever. And you're going to be vulnerable to be taken advantage of.
And through my years of pastoral counseling and your years as a professional counselor, I've seen so many people come in and be almost mouse-like, timid and shy, and they're miserable. They've come for help, but they don't even know what's wrong with them, and they can't articulate it, and they don't know what went wrong in their marriage, or they have no, you know, because a person who intimidates somebody else or abuses them or squelches their voice, if you will, really gets to a point they don't like that other mousiness of that person. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Well, because
I don't know
not...
what you can explain all that I just said.
Yeah. Well, when they have all the power and there's right. no kickback, there's no fun in that. You know, they need a little bit of a race to have. You know, some competition. And so when a person just kind of lays down like a doormat, yeah, it's not good for anybody. But we should not. We really need to look at our relationships, and when we're having those power differentials, those are flags. Like, look at this may not be a healthy situation.
Right.
And we do need to find our voice. And sometimes finding our voice is finding our way out.
Exactly. Last week I was watching a lot of the Olympics, last 2 weeks, because I love that. And one night there was all the speed skating, you know, on the ice, you know. And as this big team went around, or four or five people started the race, it ended up with one person. Everybody else either got entangled up together or fell or whatever the case may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the commentator said, this is going to be hard on this person here to finish this race because there is no competition and they're not going to be able to beat their personal best probably because there's nobody pushing them. And I found that concept very interesting, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we're not meant to live in a vacuum. We're not on an island somewhere.
No.
You know, we are made, we are put here by God to interact with people. God came to earth to interact with us. It's an interaction thing. We're not meant to live alone and be, you know, hermits.
We aren't. And people who do are miserable.
That was my sermon. So go ahead. Now you can explain all that.
And that was a good sermon. No, but people who do live like that are miserable. But sometimes people are just hermits, but they have a life. There are people around them, but they're hermits in themselves because they're not using their voice.
Exactly.
You know, and I will talk to some, you know, patients in counseling and they're like, what do you mean? I have three kids and I have a husband and, you know, and I'm like, but you're a hermit. You don't use your voice. You don't express your thoughts, your needs, your wants.
How do you know that when a person's sitting there in counseling with you? What's the clues?
Well, the first clue is, one, they're miserable. And second clue, I'm having to almost pull their teeth out to get them
get
to kind of share anything.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're very exhausting sessions. You know, and, you know, people feel like they should just know what I need or what I think or what
right.
I want. You know,
yeah.
Read my mind. And it doesn't work that way. There is no magical mind reading happening from anybody. We need to build a voice,
right.
what we need, what we want. What
right.
we desire. And then give a person an opportunity to meet us there.
And if the person can't for whatever reason,
then we
they
have
should,
choices
they should
to make,
discuss
right.
it, though, right, openly.
Absolutely.
They should say, here's why I understand what you need, but here's why I can't do it, or yes, I'll work on that. Thank you for pointing that out.
But what happens in a lot of, especially intimate partner relationships, is one person isn't telling their needs. They just expect the other person to know it, and then the other person doesn't, so they're not meeting it. And so person one is just totally ticked off.
And a lot
upset.
Of times, and they express that by pouting.
Mm-hmm.
I've known people that in relationships go into a 2-day, 3-day, 5-week pout.
Not talking to the other person.
And not talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they're trying to control and keep that other person silenced. Because if they're not responding and they're not talking and they're not doing, you know, any kind of dialogue, you sit down at a meal. I've heard this so many times in counseling.
Mm-hmm.
They sit down at a meal, nobody says a word.
Yep.
You see it in public. Go out
yes.
and you watch it in public.
Yes, you do. That's true.
And in the younger generations, people revert to their phone. They sit there and play on their phone. But I've seen a whole lot of people, and I know you have too, that sit there. Maybe they're a little older. They just sit there and eat their food. They never look up, never say a word
nope.
to each other.
It's like the invisible game. I'm going to pretend like you're invisible because you didn't meet my need. But I never told you what my need was to begin with, but you still didn't meet it. So now I'm going to punish you and pretend like you're invisible.
I think this is one of the major problems in intimate relationships.
Not using your voice.
Not using your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I agree.
You know... It's so easy to fall into that habit pattern in a relationship because we do get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen where we feel bruised, we feel misunderstood, we feel neglected. Somebody forgot our birthday or the anniversary or, you know, famous thing of the guy, what anniversary? Oh my gosh, you know, and somebody mm-hmm. reminds you or whatever the case may be. But so often we can slip into a way of life where we are in our own little world and we really aren't even looking for the signs
right.
from the silent partner or wife or husband of, hey, something's wrong here.
No,
or
right.
or we can get so angry that we're just, let's just see who's going to talk first. I've known that situation.
Oh, absolutely. Those are common games, I like to call them, in marriages. But they don't lead to happy, healthy marriages. Oh. People are miserable in those situations. But the problem is we do get stuck in our world, like you said, and we just think that what we need, what we want, what we think is just so obvious. So how can this person not know?
You know, you're exactly right. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard that through the years in pastoral counseling. I know you've heard it, where he never sees that I'm tired or that I just want him to fold some laundry. And, you know, speaking as a woman, you know, a lot of times guys don't see things, mm-hmm. you know, so help them.
And then you're like,
put a sign beside their coffee cup. The laundry needs to be folded.
Exactly. Have but, you know, asked for this to happen?
But then women will say, I've heard this too. I shouldn't have to ask him. He should see that the laundry is stacked up to the ceiling.
He lives in this house too.
Exactly. Don't you see? I mean.
Yes, but here's the thing. If we're not using our words, things aren't going to get changed.
And that's it.
Right.
Back, we say this to our children now. This is a common thing. I've heard my daughter-in-law say this to her little boys, to my little grandsons. Use your words.
Use your words.
Use your words. That's a common thing now, isn't it? I don't remember ever saying that to my kids, but that was a long time ago, before that was a common concept. But you know what? This is true, isn't it? Talk about that as a therapist.
It is. So what happens, you know, we get people who come in, they come into marriage counseling a lot of times. They have this issue. I believe you should just know what I need. You don't have a clue what I need, and we're miserable, and I'm mad, and I'm having a grudge. And when I bring out, have you used your words? Have you shared with this other person what you need? And I get a lot of reluctance. Well, I shouldn't have to, just like we talked about. They should just know if they really loved me, they could see how tired I am, you know, and a million excuses. But I'm like, here's the deal. It's not working the way you're doing it.
Right.
So let's try this and
obviously,
see if maybe you get a different result.
Obviously, the person's clueless. So
yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And they're like, but do you want this to get better or do you want it to stay the same?
Or do you want to stay it like that? But you know, there's some people who love fighting.
There are.
And love pouting.
That's true.
And you know, I've had people in my office say, you know, sitting there talking to them about what's going on. Well, you know, we haven't really communicated for maybe 17, 18, 20 years. We just kind of pass ships in the night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so what I'm going to tell you is, if you're that person and you're in that relationship, use your words. Tell the person what you need. Tell them how you need. Tell them what you're thinking. Share that. They don't know. And most of the times, there's such simple kind of fixes. Be patient. It may take them some time to learn new habits or to learn to fold the towels the right way or how to unload the dishwasher or whatever it is that you need to express. But just try it differently.
Let's think about a work situation, okay?
Right.
And you're the boss,
okay.
Like you are in your situation, okay? And if you just expected all the counselors that work under you to just know what you expect on their charts as they fill out their charts for their patients, et cetera, they should just know that. And you never call them in and say, this is not going to pass regulations here for the state requirements. Talk to me about all that. That happens. That's a real example, isn't it?
That kind of stuff does happen all the time, where people just kind of take a position, you get thrown into it, and you're just expected to figure it out and do it right. And it doesn't work that way.
Right.
When I bring a staff member in, I have very detailed step 1, 2, 3, 4, a book. I made a whole book of what.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. I'm very geeky like that.
Yes, you are.
Of what's expected, what documentation looks like, what your due dates, like, so that I can hold my staff accountable
to
a standard.
That's it right there.
But it's all about communication.
So, but going back to our example in the home
mm-hmm.
or in a family situation, you know, it's you don't necessarily have a guidebook, right?
We don't always have a guidebook. But
children,
you know,
are not born with a baby with a handbook, right?
Kids are not born with handbooks. But here's the thing: sometimes we can make those types of things in our life to help. you know, my oldest has had ADHD, and he, if you told him to clean his room, he wouldn't know what that looked like from anything. You know, throw the sheet over a bunch of toys and he thinks it would be clean. So I actually had to sit and make a list. That means put your toys on the shelf, pick your clothes up, make your bed, get the garbage out. And I gave him this tool.
Right.
And people were like, well, that's ridiculous. You should just be able to tell him to clean his room and he should just get it clean. But I'm like, his idea of clean and my idea of clean weren't the same. So why wouldn't I give him a tool to help him understand that?
And in this case, you were using your voice.
I was using my voice.
To communicate with your words.
With my
words. You were using your words.
Written words in a checklist form. But it gave him an
opportunity. And look at him now. Mm-hmm. Look at him now in the Army and how successful he is. And I would imagine it goes back to some of those roots that you planted with him as a child.
Absolutely. And so if we're needing some help around the house from our partner, let's put a plan together. If we got to make a chart or do something to help them remember, because they're not going to be used to it if they're not doing it. And accept people doing it differently than you.
And exactly. And finding your voice doesn't mean that you scream louder.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
In fact, you may be quieter normal.
Absolutely.
Because generally speaking, I found that in counseling and also just in knowing things about people in their lives, the screaming usually keeps people from wanting to do something.
Oh, yeah. Usually when we're screaming, we're silencing the other people around us, because most people are not going to want to respond in to when we're already heightened and screaming.
Right.
Unless they're screaming right back at us, and then someone's got to get louder and we have a screaming match.
And when we use the word screaming, we literally mean raising your voice to the point of screaming, mm-hmm. which happens in a lot of households.
Some households only communicate that way.
By screaming
at each other.
Right.
And that's not effective communication. That's not using your voice.
Because sometimes a powerful response is a very soft response.
Very much so. Sometimes using our voice is silence.
Exactly. Explain that one, Dr. Angel.
Well, I like I said in the example earlier, if you were in a group of people and they told a dirty joke that you didn't agree with, or a racial slur joke and you didn't agree with it, instead of, you know, looking like you're going along with the flow and ha 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 ha, silence, maybe you don't say anything. Maybe you just walk away. That's using your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to put judgment or criticism on anybody, mm-hmm. but I stood for what? My truth.
Exactly.
My truth.
And I think we've been saying all through this show, one of the reasons people don't use their voice is they're so afraid often of the reaction they're going to get, right?
Oh, yeah, they are.
Whether it be a spouse or mm-hmm. a kid or a parent or a worker or your boss, you're afraid to say, you know.
They're afraid of either the reaction, what that person's going to think of me, that they'll think I'm stupid, that what I have to say is not really important, that I'll cause a conflict. Like, these are those fears driving why people don't use their voice. Another common area I see people not use their voice a lot, especially in today's culture, is they buy something from the store and they get it, it's defective. And they won't bring it back to the store. Like, stores have return policies for that mm-hmm. very reason, mm-hmm. but that's not... That to them is a conflict to go to that store and say, you know, I bought this product. Here's my receipt. And it's can I exchange it? They won't do that. So they'll just go buy another one.
Wow. But this is a common problem people.
It is. I can't tell you the number of people who are deathly afraid to make a return or an exchange on something they purchase. And there's something wrong with that product.
Right. Let's say you're co-parenting, whether you're divorced or whether you are still married. It's obviously a little harder when you're divorced, but the person who is always cowered, especially after a divorce, needs to find their voice.
Oh, yes.
Or they're going to get run over for a real long time. And sometimes you have to take other ways of working something out,
mm-hmm.
but it's not okay. Here's what I'm trying to say. It's not okay to do what a lot of religious people think is the answer, to do nothing and just suffer in silence.
Yeah, that's not
okay. I used to call
that
suffering for the Savior. It's not okay. That's not what God... Jesus spoke up.
Right. Jesus, you know, we were not...
He always...
created to be the doormat.
No. In fact, with the religious leaders, when they would confront him, he would tell them a story, make a point. He didn't just sit there and go, oh, okay, if you feel that way. No.
But he wasn't intimidating. He wasn't rude. He wasn't disrespectful.
Right.
But he still had his voice.
He still had his voice.
And you bring a good point, bringing this, because... you know, he knew what his purpose was when he came here.
Yes.
He had passion for what his purpose was. And he never let accusations or other people take him away from that purpose or passion.
Could he be the perfect example of authenticity. Authenticity. I like that word.
And his truth. People disagreed. He didn't defend himself. He still spoke his truth.
Right. Right.
And that's what we want to achieve in our life. We want to be peaceful individuals, but we can still be true to who we are in that event.
And I think I did a Facebook post this morning and on kindness, basically, you know. And I think that that is so lacking in our world right now, where people, they can, they think that speaking their truth is to yell and scream or to be offensive,
right,
or whatever. And where has the kindness gone?
Absolutely. It's pretty void in a lot of our culture these days. People aren't...
Do we hold doors for people when they walk in a room or a restaurant? Do we...
People don't. You know, it's so funny because I just had this situation today, and I'm always one that I will look. If someone's coming, I'll sit and wait and hold the door. And then yell, don't rush. It's okay. I'll hold it. You know, because people feel like they got to hurry up and get in. And I held the door for a couple people at work today. Oh, my gosh, they were so thankful. And I'm like, this was nothing. But yet it's everything because people aren't doing that for
They're not doing it.
And it was really profound how appreciative they were that I held a door for a few extra seconds for them.
Mm-hmm. And I think what we're talking about is character here. Mm-hmm. It goes to the root of who we are. Okay?
Absolutely.
Are we those wimpy little people that are just walked on and, oh, it's just terrible. What happened to me? It's just a mess. And we get mileage out of telling that story over and over again as a victim?
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe a lot of people that are voiceless are victims.
Oh, yes.
Don't you?
Oh, yes. Voiceless people are always taken advantage of.
Yes.
Time and time and time and time again. And they fail to kind of see what they're doing to contribute to them, you know, falling in these negative situations.
Right.
They don't learn from the patterns before. So we'll find the voiceless people who came from maybe an abusive marriage walk right into
another
the same
one.
Thing. Or, you know, just continue to make the same types of mistakes through it and not using their voice. And there can be some identity in that, as we've talked about in previous shows about, you know, letting people continue to walk on us. But that's, we're not living content. We're not living happy. We are not living true.
And the purpose of this show, Go Yard, what we do here, and we have been doing for now almost 4 years, is to point out things in life that if we make some corrections, a course correction, that we can hit that home run. In baseball season starting, we can't wait. It's so exciting. And as baseball season approaches, they are in spring training right now all over Florida here, and these teams everywhere, and they are working on how they stand and how they hold their bat and how, you know, how they're approaching the plate. And all of those things are things that can be corrected sometimes so that they will hit that home run in life, which is the name of the show, Go Yard. And so isn't that what we are doing here on the show? Is that what we're all about?
It is absolutely what we're all about. And you bring up a good point. These things just don't happen to us. Finding our voices, we're just not going to wake up one day when you turn 40 and have a voice. It's something that we have to work towards, that we have to practice, that we have to apply.
Right.
It's intentionality.
I remember when I turned 40 and I was pastoring church in Indiana, and I never had worn glasses all my life, okay? Never. I'm perfect eyes. And it's like that month I turned 40, I had to hold my Bible out further. And I remember making a comment in a sermon, oh my gosh, I can't see my, you know. Well, within a couple weeks, I'm in bifocals, okay? But from that point on, and I still wear bifocals, but at that point, I realized I had to make a course correction.
Yes.
If I was going to see correctly. Because otherwise, I'm going to be holding my Bible out further and further, and pretty soon it's going to be sitting back five rows back for me to see it. You know what I'm saying? Because life changes.
Yes.
Our relationships change.
Yes.
Our lives take on different appearance sometimes. Different
but
people in our lives.
We have to be willing to make those corrections.
We do.
And that's what I feel a lot of people do is fight those corrections. Well, I shouldn't have to wear it. This isn't fair. Oh, my gosh. If I had a quarter for every time I heard that, I could probably retire.
I know.
Okay, it's not fair. But if you don't wear glasses, you're not going to see what you want to see. So here's your choice. You can cry about it and not be able to see, or we can use this tool to help you see. Like, and they get stuck in that.
I have run flat tires on my car. A lot of people do nowadays, which means that if I get a nail or something in it, I got about 50 miles until I have to do something about it. Okay? It's like, it's a warning to me. And it'll come on the dashboard, you know, and I go, oh my gosh, I got something wrong with the tire. And it'll even tell me which tire it is.
Oh, wow.
Okay, it's pretty cool. Okay, but if I don't take the time to go in there and stop and get it corrected, it happened to me about a year ago. If I didn't take that time, I would not even be driving here tonight.
Or you could have sat and cried, this isn't fair. I have to get my tire changed and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But that's what people are doing all the time exactly. with finding their voice.
Exactly. I tell you, this is going to be a good series, and I thought we'd do it in 2 weeks, but I don't think so. I think we will do it in about 3 weeks. We want your participation, audience. Call in or text in. Just texting is really the safest way to go, because that way, if we are not here live, and sometimes that's the case, then you can still get your question or your comment heard. 727-888-4171. Also, every Saturday and Sunday, 12 noon Eastern, this show will be heard again this Saturday and Sunday, but on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, www.StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And within a few minutes after the show, this show that we just did will be up on podcast right here at TantalkNetwork.com. And so go to podcast, go to Go Yard. Dr. Angel, finish it up.
Well, you know what? If you are one of those individuals out there and you're like, you know what, Dr. Angel, I am not using my voice. Let's make this series help put you on that course correction. Let's, you know, decide right now what I've done isn't working and stop fighting that it's not fair or it's not right or you shouldn't have to, and use some of these tools and really make your life better.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to be talking about again next week, same time, 6:06 p.m. Eastern, right here on TantalkNetwork.com. Go back and listen to the podcast. There's a ton of them. Go to our website, goyard2014.org. All right. It's been fun. I think this is going to be helpful. And that's why we do the show anyway, to be helpful, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. So let's get out of here, Pete. It's been a good show. And stay tuned, because we love our man Gene coming on right after us. And he always has a great show on employment, getting a job, and doing the thing that you love to do. We love to talk about problems and how to solve them.
Yes,
right here on Go Yard. So we are
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac, and we will see you again right here next week at this time. Go Yard, people. Hit a home run in life. See you soon.
Good night.
On this weary soul, coming to